Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 92. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, great win by the Sharks.
Dude, we won today!
We won.
We're going all the way!
We are going all the way, dude.
All the way.
We're going all the way. Our confidence has never wavered. The Sharks played like they've been playing this whole road trip. Aggressive.
Great.
They did the simple things well, which has been the key the last 2 weeks, dude.
No bad turnovers, just like always.
No bad turnovers, no giveaways. Nabby was solid the whole game. Yeah. Like he was in Edmonton, dude, he didn't give up any rebounds.
Nothing.
There wasn't, you know, any sort of signs of chinks in his armor as far as, you know, flopping around
right
on the ground.
Diving this way and that.
Just totally diving. He didn't do that.
No.
And he looked good, dude. And I don't know what to say.
Smooth sailing for the Sharks.
Absolutely. And I think we can just sort of expect more of the same as we kind of come into this next week. You know, the way the Sharks have been... Should we keep this up, dude?
I think we should stop.
Is that a good opener?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we can fake it a little bit. We're acting.
I think in reality, we're thinking,
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. You know, you thought they were going to lose tonight, too.
I did.
Sharks had lost 6 in a row, 5 straight in regulation. The first 5-game losing streak like that since 1997. First time the Sharks had lost 5 games in any way since 2005, before Joe Thornton was even traded to the Sharks. I think I remember the Sharks being on like almost a 10-game skid when that trade actually happened. And this was very disconcerting to see the Sharks completely give up the ghost there for almost an entire road trip. We saw a lot of crazy ideas floating around on the blog,
yeah,
man. People were full-on panic mode.
Yeah, and I have to admit that I was on the ledge myself for a while.
Yeah, you were looking down, my friend.
Well, dude, we were joking this afternoon that, you know, we actually had flipped roles for right now, because usually you are the glass half empty,
mm-hmm,
and I'm the glass half full. But tonight, that was not the case, and you're... persevered, dude,
and, yes,
and we got a good win. And things that they were talking about that they needed to do tonight, they did most of them
right.
Like, how about doing the simple things well?
Yeah, I didn't see any delays in the offensive zone, which is you skate the puck into the offensive zone, then you stop, turn around, and look to see who's trailing. And that's, you know, a prime situation for a high turnover, something that you hear Drew Remeda talk often about on the broadcast, which there's a couple Sharks down deep, and then that can easily lead to an odd man rush the other way. I saw several times a guy would actually stop, almost do a delay, maybe slow down a little bit into the zone, but instead of passing it across the blue line again or parallel to the blue line, he'd actually just dump it deep and somebody else would chase it deep, and mm-hmm, it works out. Mm-hmm. You see the Sharks recover that puck 50% of the time or more. It seems like, okay, the Sharks almost started to understand a little bit. Listen, we're not just automatically giving it up possession. If we chip it deep like that, we can get it back. Joe's got great hands. We got Marlowe with speed, Setoguchi with speed. You know, that's a perfectly legitimate way to play the break-in.
Best player tonight, dude?
Oh, man. There was some good performances.
Joe Pavelski, dude.
Yeah, Joe Pavelski.
He was everywhere. That line with him and Marlowe was really clicking.
Mm-hmm.
Torrey Mitchell looked good tonight.
Yeah.
I have to admit, when they came out with that line at the beginning of Thornton and Mitchell and Klo, I was muttering openly in your living room saying,
right,
this is a joke. I mean, come on.
Right.
But Mitchell certainly benefited from being out there. He looked aggressive. His speed came into play, dude. And I don't know, the Ron Wilson tinkering appears to have paid off and bought them life against Minnesota. What did they have to do to keep this going?
Well, they have to keep doing what they did tonight, right? I mean, Minnesota can be a dangerous team. They're not the Minnesota of old that would just play the neutral zone trap and wait for you to make a mistake. They will actually try and press and forecheck hard and do all those things. I mean, they got some weapons, right? I mean, they don't have... They're not really in the running to make the playoffs, but
no,
next year, this could be a playoff team.
Sure. I expect that it will be, good goaltending. They've kind of kept their core. They've got some good young players, and they've bought into the system of Todd Richards. Mm-hmm. It's a very similar style of play to what the Sharks play.
Right.
And I think the Minnesota Wild are, if you're a Wild fan, you have something to be excited about, finally, instead of just watching the same old trash that they've been throwing out in Phoenix. Oh, I mean Minnesota. Oops, that was a slip up there. Sorry about that.
Oops. Well, maybe finally now the friends around us can stop giving us crap, because you were telling me today you have some people around you and your nearby circle of friends, coworkers, family, etc., that took a little extra relish when the Sharks hit the skids.
Well, it's not. It seems like just people in general, when the Sharks start to hit that decline, that I think that as Sharks fans, we all are semi expecting.
Yes.
That they start to pipe up a little bit more than normal, you know. And those Sharks fans that are listening, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know, they're those people that kind of follow the Sharks casually, and then when the wheels start to come off the bus a little bit, they're gone, and they're gone very vocally.
Right.
You know, like, these guys suck, and I knew they were going to blow it, and when's it, you know, I'm out of here. When do the A's start?
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, oh man, you know, and I admit I was on the trolling the spring baseball
Dude.
Training blog going, oh my gosh. I mean, you know, you just have that sinking pit in your stomach when Phoenix passed us and it seemed like the world was literally ending. The ice was melting. It was all over. It was like the apocalypse, dude. Phoenix Coyotes are leading the Pacific Division.
I know.
Well, not anymore as of tonight, but
yeah, they lost.
Dude, it was rough. And you know, now if the Sharks can rattle off a couple wins in a row, those people will all be back.
That's right. That's right. Well, so yeah, it's good to see you know, fans, listeners of this podcast staying strong. Of course, being a fan doesn't mean you have to endorse everything the Sharks do.
Absolutely not.
Doesn't mean you have to like all the Sharks players.
No, we certainly don't.
It just means to me, it means you need to hope that the Sharks win.
Right.
And the instant that you're hoping the Sharks don't win, to me, means you're not really that much of a fan anymore. You're serving some other agenda. So.
And the agenda is of evil.
The dark side.
Also known as a Wings fan.
Yeah. Pretty much. All right, I got to get to the Robber Baron, because we haven't talked about fantasy all season, which is probably...
I wonder why.
Well, it could be a mistake.
No, could be because it's, you checked out.
Dude. Okay, I got to read the email.
Okay.
Just want to get your guys' thoughts on the Dudes on Hockey Fantasy Leagues, which teams you think will make a deep run, and what teams will be most ahead as we head into the first week of the fantasy playoffs. Dude, I missed the playoffs in both leagues.
You did.
The second league by one freaking point.
Sad.
Yes.
I'm in the playoffs in both leagues.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I should have paid attention the last 3 months.
Maybe if you had put Sedin in,
yeah,
you would have made the playoffs instead of having him ride the pine.
Yeah. I have a confession to make. For some reason, although I love hockey, to distraction, ask my wife, I can't stay engaged with fantasy hockey. I don't know what it is. It's just not something I get excited about or eager about. I don't look forward to setting my team. I don't think about how my players did last night. I look at the scores. I watch the standings. I look at highlights. Of course, I watch all the Sharks games. But somehow, knowing that Lubomir Vyshnovsky was a +2 with 2 points last night just doesn't give me that jolt of excitement. It just really doesn't. So next year, dude, I think I'm just going to have to stay on.
You can just be the commentator.
I'm going to have to be the commentator.
And I'll go for the win.
Because I'm that guy in the league that everybody else hates. Because I don't do anything.
I personally love you. I would eat your lunch every time we'd play.
I know. I guess that's true, but it's kind of weak sauce. And I apologize to all of our listeners that are in our fantasy leagues, and that hopefully next time you'll just have me sitting on the sidelines kibitzing, and Doug will be in there kicking butt.
Dude, apology not accepted.
Hey.
Not accepted.
That was heartfelt, dude.
Okay.
What else am I supposed to do?
All right, dude. Apology still not accepted.
Okay. So, dude, now that you actually pay attention to the fantasy league.
It's
so
true.
So, give us your prognostications for these fantasy league playoffs.
Well, I think it would be a total shame if I didn't win both. And I think that there's a definite chance that I might, because in the first league, the dudes on hockey league, I mean, I went from ninth all the way to third from the middle of the season. So I got to think I'm the hottest team. Yeah. But the Cheechamaholic's been on top of that league the whole year. So you got to think that he's the team to beat. And on the other side of the bracket, you know, probably looking ahead to the semifinals, I think the Robber Baron's got a pretty good team. You look at his goalie situation. He's got Marc-Andre Fleury and Jimmy Howard going down the stretch.
Yeah.
You know, those are two guys I'd want to have, you know, in net for my fantasy team, because those teams are going to be playing hard, especially the Red Wings trying to get some key wins. When you look at who I've got in goal, you know, I've got Martin Brodeur. I've got Halak. I've got Tuukka Rask. So those are some goalies also playing for some pretty important minutes. So we'll see. I think the other side of the bracket's a little bit tougher. Mm-hmm. I'm anticipating being in the finals, dude.
Dude.
I am. And in the other league, the Dudes 2, Revenge of the Cheech, I am the 1 seed, and you should have been the 8 seed, dude, but you blew it.
Well, I went like 7-3 in the last week, and then somebody else went 8-3 or something and beat me by 1 point. So I guess I should have started paying attention more than like earlier than 2 weeks ago.
There's some good teams there. I think, you know, Country Club 40s. Has, you know, Kopitar, Spezza, Daniel Sedin, Seto. Their D's kind of weak, you know, but they've got Craig Anderson and Jimmy Howard. That could be a good thing or that could be a bad thing if Craig Anderson sort of implodes. Semenov's kids in that league, you know, has a pretty solid team and has been good pretty much all year and has, you know, 3 goalies that are kind of trying to fight for the playoffs. So, you know, we'll see, dude. I'll certainly give you an update when I'm in the semis next week. Yeah. I'll let you know. I hope I'm not jinxing myself.
I hope you're not, dude.
Do you think? Am I being too cocky?
You're talking a little big here.
Well,
talking
that's part of the fun. What would the listeners think if I was just like, I'm just really happy to be here. I'm just glad to be here in the fantasy playoffs. I got to talk trash, dude. This is our league.
And it's fantasy.
Yeah. Until you beat the dude, you're nobody.
That's right. It's just not the same. You haven't arrived. So you've beaten the dude.
That's right. The dude stands alone.
So, dude, I do want to go back to a slightly more painful subject, which is the losing streak. And I know that there was a topic in the paper from Mark Purdy. You were threatening, you know, offline to write a post about the possible firing of Todd McClellan.
Now, hold the phone here.
Yes.
Dude. I wasn't saying that was going to happen. What I said to you was this. If Lou Lamoriello was running the San Jose Sharks and the Sharks lost 6 or 7 in a row, he would have fired Todd McClellan.
Yeah.
Maybe. It would have been at least on the radar. And, you know, we've seen, you know, it happened. Dude, what was the year that they fired Fatorik?
2000.
And Larry Robinson came in and they won the cup.
Right.
And then he's done it 2 other times, you know, when he fired Robinson and then he fired Claude Julien, and then they only fizzled out in the second round. But, you know, Lou Lamoriello's not afraid. If he doesn't see something he likes late in the year, then he'll just go down there and sit behind the bench. And, okay, well, yeah, had Lamoriello had any NHL coaching experience before he did that? No. But he had coached college hockey. At least he did something.
Right.
But what I was saying to you is, I said, listen, you know, if the Sharks drop 8 or 9 in a row here, which thankfully that's not happening.
Right. Thankfully.
Because they stopped it tonight. But if that had happened, do you think Doug Wilson would have to look at himself in the mirror and say, it's time for me to take full ownership of this situation, and Todd McClellan has lost the boys. I need to go down there with Mike Ricci, and we need to take ownership of this situation.
I don't think that would have happened for 2 reasons. One is that Doug Wilson seems to be certainly less of a pull-the-trigger-quickly kind of guy than Lou Lamoriello. And two,
you're saying he's a slow simmer?
I'm just saying he seems more deliberate in his decisions. And the second is that Lou Lamoriello is a longtime respected general manager in hockey. And if it didn't work out for Lou Lamoriello, he's had such success with the Devils that his job wouldn't be on the line. And if Doug Wilson did it in what a lot of people would probably consider to be arrogance and saying, I can coach this team better than T-Mac, and I'm going to bring in my own guys and we're going to do it. If that didn't work, then guess what? They're probably all going to be out of a job.
Right.
So I think that would be a huge gamble for Doug Wilson. Luckily, he didn't have to put himself in that position to even think about making that decision, although he did certainly have a vote of confidence in McClellan here. He said, he's our coach. Oh, yeah. End of story.
He made it extremely clear that that's not something that was on the radar. But, you know, if this team fails again this year, there's going to be a lot of warm seats in the Sharks front office and on the Sharks bench. And, you know, tonight they showed that if they can maybe keep it simple, not make boneheaded plays, be responsible in their own end, and get some decent goaltending, that they can be a winner.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they flame out, there's going to be some serious, more than ever questions to be answered.
Yes, yes. Well, one of the questions is ongoing still, even now that Vlasic's back in the lineup, is about defense. We have an email from Chris from Boston saying, is it just me or has Jay Leach played better than Vahlin or Huskin so far this season? Yes, Leach has absolutely no offensive upside, but he does not seem to make many defensive mistakes or take dumb penalties. I also agree with you guys that Demers played better than all three of these guys and should be with the team full time. Is this the whole defensive mess? Is this whole defensive mess telling us that no team can afford a $21 million top line? What gives, and why didn't Doug Wilson fix it? What do you say to that, dude?
Well, I've got no problem with Jay Leach. Mm-hmm. I think that he's a serviceable guy, and if he had to play 30 games in a year for the Sharks, I'm not going to be upset. But if he's out there every night, I don't really see what he offers you other than, you know, 11 to 12 minutes of just slightly average hockey player.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Is he better than Wahlin? No.
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 And he's not better than Huskins either.
No, and he's not better than Huskins. I think maybe it's Chris, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Chris, that maybe, it, you know, Huskins seems to sometimes be in the wrong place more often.
Right.
And it maybe gets highlighted a little bit more that you're like, oh God, when something bad happens, you're looking and you see, you know, Huskins out there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because he's playing probably 10 more minutes than Jay Leach.
In probably tougher situations. And
in tougher situations. So I would say there's no question that I would rather have Wahlin and Huskins out there. But still, this Demers question, I wrote about it on the blog, dude. What do you think, there's any shot that he's going to be back with this team this year? Or is he a next year kind of guy now?
I have to think he's a next year kind of guy. I mean, they're giving Logan Couture a look right now. He seems to be delivering. He hasn't scored yet. I don't think he's had a point yet, but you know, he's looked pretty good. He hasn't looked out of his league. He was playing on an interesting line with him, Setoguchi, and Healy tonight. Mm-hmm. That line certainly didn't seem to be ineffective. Mm-hmm. Healy had a goal, and Couture had a really good opportunity fairly late in the game. So, but if they're not making a move on Demers now with less than 10 games left in the season, then they're not going to make it.
Right.
But, dude, I want to read you my quote from the blog because I was proud of it. And I'm just, you know, I think it's, I thought it was kind of a sum up of what happens with the defense. It's just, it was just, this is the way I put it on the blog, if I can find it here. I said, basically, our best defenseman is playing a little too much. Our second best defenseman is out. Our third best defenseman is just right. Our fourth best is in the minors. Our fifth best defenseman is playing the second most minutes. Our sixth best defenseman is playing fewer minutes than the seventh best. And the eighth best is actually playing every night. So now that some of those problems have been sorted out, we see Vlasic out. But Demers, right now, maybe I'm just over-evaluating the kid a little bit, but I'd say he's almost our fourth best defenseman.
It's that quality that he brings to the team, is that second puck mover,
mm-hmm.
that really is something this team needs, an extra driver, you know, behind the car. And when he's out there, they seem to score more. The offense seems to click more. Does he make bad plays in his own end? Yes.
Right. But, and we're not breaking down all the tape that I'm sure the assistant coaches are, and I'm sure they're picking out several things every single game that he's really not doing correctly, and we're just not privy to those things.
But so, the wins and losses don't lie.
That's true.
They are, you know, 10 or 12% better, you know, winning percentage than without, you know, with him than without him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... that tells a story. I mean, just like how we could look at the stats last year and see how much worse the Sharks were when Semenov was on the ice.
That's true.
You know, it's a shame that they're not giving him a shot. And at this point, I don't know who he'd be out there instead of, because his shot probably has come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's no doubt in my mind that Jason Demers is going to be a full-time regular on this team next year, because, you know, dude, he's a +9.
Yeah.
And he's third amongst NHL rookies in scoring in like a fraction of the games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this guy, he's going to be good. If the Sharks can clean up some of his defensive miscues, then he could be an easy replacement for Erhoff. I mean, Erhoff's got a lot of points this year, so those are kind of big shoes to fill at the moment. But still, this guy's shown a heck of a lot of promise in a very short amount of time. So good for that.
Agreed.
Well, dude, the other thing that happened this week is the Sharks made a number of different transactions, mostly with college players, it looks like.
Doug Wilson loves his college players.
We talked about Nick Schaus last week. The Sharks also were in the news signing their 2005 draft pick, Tony Lucia, mm-hmm. to an entry-level deal. He was at the University of Minnesota. There was other...
They signed Bindi Irwin, yes. The daughter of Steve Irwin.
What?
To an... Oh, sorry, Matt Irwin.
Matt Irwin, yes, thank you.
I thought it was a Bindi Irwin.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you know, she might have a real good slap shot.
Also signed James Marcoux to an empty level contract.
Who?
He was from UMass, scored team-high 51 points in 36 games.
Nice.
It's not bad.
Dude, I want to throw this out there because I think it's something of note for Sharks fans that Nick Bonino, the player who the Sharks traded to...
Hamburgers.
Oh, that's Nick Wallin. Oh, I think... Dude. Sorry.
Dude.
Sorry, dude.
Nick Bonino.
Hamburgers.
Traded to the Anaheim Ducks for Ken Huskins and Travis Moan.
Right.
Is now in a Ducks uniform.
Okay.
He signed, and they didn't send him to the AHL or the ECHL. He's playing. You know, he's up, and he should be getting in games soon, from what I read. So we should keep an eye out to see how Nick Bonino, he's playing the University of Boston. They did not make... the Frozen Four tournament this year.
Mm-hmm.
So he has left college and has gone pro. So we'll see how much the Sharks got taken in that deal.
Right. A little or a lot.
Because right now, Timo Pielmeier for Ken Huskins seems okay to me.
Yeah, that seems like a good trade.
Sure.
But Nick Bonino, depending on where he ends up, we're not sure. So there it is. There it is. Well, also, dude, I know you had something on some Sharks prospects.
Yeah.
Getting some playoff time in their respective leagues. What do you got on that?
Well, you know, since things were looking a little grim for the last week, I started doing some digging into the junior playoffs and the Frozen Four has started. And, you know, starting with the Frozen Four, I mean, those games are on ESPNU and then they're going to be on ESPN2 coming up. And we've got two Sharks prospects playing in the Frozen Four tournament. Denver University's William Wren, our mm-hmm. pick from last year, a defenseman. He's a freshman. He's playing some big minutes for them. They have a game this week against Rochester Institute of Technology, and it looks like if they win that, then they'll play Cornell or New Hampshire on March 27th.
Okay.
And then the number one seed is Miami of Ohio. They're the favorite to win the whole thing. Also, another Sharks draft pick, Tommy Wingles, is a forward who plays mm-hmm. for them. And it might be interesting to take a look and see these guys. And, you know, I think Wingles is a senior, mm-hmm. but Wren is a freshman and probably at least 2 years away from, you know, going pro. But, you know, Wingles, when Miami of Ohio loses, I would expect that he's going to be one of these next guys to sign, dude.
Mm-hmm. That's very possible. Very possible. And check out some college hockey if you haven't, Sharks fans, because it's good hockey. You know, these guys are really energetic. It's sort of like watching a bunch of Torrey Mitchells out there to a large extent. I mean, a lot of right. these guys, they hit big. They go like crazy. They just hustle. You know, they have that youthful enthusiasm that you see a lot of times in young players that sort of gets, you know, shaved off a little bit as they enter into their third, fourth, fifth year in the NHL. And these college guys are full of all that stuff. So it's really entertaining hockey to watch. I mean, who can forget, you know, the final last year with was it Boston University tying it like with 20 seconds left?
It was just scoring. Crazy. We were in Vegas watching that.
Yeah, and they got two goals in the last 3 minutes, yeah. and they win in overtime. I mean, that was one of the crazier, more exciting hockey games I've seen in a while. So
Wingles, the center for Miami of Ohio, 42 points in 41 games, their third leading scorer. So for the best team in the nation, their third leading scorer, an interesting prospect for people to just kind of watch, and it might be easy to watch him because those games are going to be on ESPN. Some WHL Western Hockey League playoff series to keep an eye on. Everett has Thomas Heemskerk
yep.
as their goalie. He's in a little bit of a share situation there, but they're playing Kelowna, and they're winning that series 2-0 right now. Marek Videnski is playing for Saskatoon. Mm-hmm. They're playing Red Deer and also winning that series 2-0. Hasn't really done anything there yet, but he's playing there. The Ottawa 67s with the other Demers, Julian Demers.
Right.
He has 1 point. He's a +3 in two of those games. They're beating Niagara 2-0 in that series. So the Sharks prospects are on the right side of these right now.
Mm-hmm.
Kingston Frontenac. So I'm not even sure if I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
They have Taylor Doherty. He hasn't played yet in the playoffs, and they've lost both their games. I don't know if he's hurt or what. I tried to find that out. Couldn't. And also Philip Verone, a guy we noticed at the rookie camp on the London Knights, also out with a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
It's the second time he's gone down with shoulder surgery. So that's a little bit disconcerting, dude. We kind of liked him at the rookie camp.
We did. We did. And he was a guy that played, I think he played on the same line with John Tavares when John Tavares played for the London Knights. And John Tavares, obviously, probably not in the Calder Cup race, you know, the Calder Trophy race for the best rookie here this year, but he's certainly playing quite a bit for the New York Islanders. So, you know, Phil Verone and that kind of company, you certainly take notice and you think to yourself, okay, if he's good enough to play with, without a doubt, the best player in Canadian Major Junior, then maybe this kid could go places. But as you said, he's had several injuries this year.
A guy to keep an eye on if you're going to watch the London Knights, Daniel Ehrlich, that guy.
Yeah.
We liked him in the rookie camp, an unsigned
Rudy.
He's like the Rudy's 5'6", 165. He's a lefty. He had 59 points this year, 68 games. He's got 3 points in two playoff games. He's fun to watch.
Yeah.
He's a spark plug for sure. And
the second coming of Scott Nickel, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, he's got, I think, a little bit more offensive upside than him. But anyways, just keeping track, and I'll keep everybody updated. I know not everyone has as much obsessive time as I do to keep track of these, but I'll keep you posted on the Sharks' prospects and how they're doing in the playoffs.
Thanks, dude, because it'll be a great diversion when the Sharks bow out early again.
Dude,
we were
just talking about how positive you were being.
Dude, I said it with a smile. I was joking.
Do we have more emails?
Yeah, we have one more.
We do.
From Wings Fan in Sharksland, dude.
Oh, great.
He said, right about now, you must be thrilled that Thornton, Healy, Marlowe, and Boyle got those gold medals. Clearly, they are vital to team success.
Come on now. That's a cheap shot. That's a cheap shot, Wings fan, okay?
I think he was object. That's a continuance of an objection he had to you admitting that you were sort of half rooting for Thornton,
uh-huh,
Marlowe, and Healy.
I get it. Okay.
I'm just explaining for the listeners. Dude,
I understand. Dude, listen. If Canada had lost the gold medal,
mm-hmm,
and the Sharks went on a 6-game losing streak,
mm-hmm,
would I have gotten the same email saying what a bunch of losers these guys are and they couldn't even win the gold medal and now they're still a bunch of losers?
Right.
Probably. I mean, you know, people could spin it any way they want. The Sharks backdoor into the playoffs and then they lose in the first round and everyone says they're a bunch of lazy losers. They win 18 out of 20 like they did 2 years ago and then they struggle in the first round. They peak too early.
Right.
I mean, you can spin it any way you want,
right,
to.
Right.
And we'll find a way to spin it no matter what happens,
yeah,
too.
No matter what happens, but people are going to figure out that they were right about,
wow,
it. And unfortunately, if you read my post in the blog this week, I did some research over the past 4 years and tried to find other teams that had lost 5 or more games late in the season. And really, there's not a lot of conclusions to draw from that. It's not like all those teams lost in the first round and got crushed. Some teams lost really late, you know, later than their losing streak ended after the Sharks would have, you know, the Sharks streak ended tonight.
Right.
Theirs ended later in March or in April, and they came back. A couple of those teams was Dallas, who beat us in the second round 2 years ago, got, mm-hmm, to the Western Conference Finals. Another was Buffalo, who got to the Eastern Conference Finals. So take heart, Sharks fans. Just because the Sharks had a skid, even this late in the season, doesn't really say anything about how they're going to do in the playoffs, right?
It doesn't make you feel any better.
Yeah, it doesn't. But I will reiterate the point I made on the radio show on Sunday. Whatever the Sharks need to do to avoid Detroit in the first round, I'm being totally serious. You do it. You do not want to play Detroit in the first round. It's just, I feel like I'm a broken record, and people say, oh, it doesn't matter. You have to beat the best to succeed in the playoffs. It's like, not really.
Yeah, you got to catch the breaks. This kind of segues into our last
exactly
email here, dude.
Yeah.
We've got an email here from Mason.
Oh.
Says, I know Mike is terrified of Detroit, but in all likelihood, they're going to finish eighth and face Chicago, assuming they get by Chicago and we take care of business as the number two. That's assuming that we will be number two.
Mm.
We would have to face Detroit in the second round. Eventually, the Sharks are going to have to play a top seed and take care of business. Thoughts?
Of course. Of course, the answer to that is yes. If the Sharks are going to go deep, they're going to have to play great teams. What my point is not that if the Sharks ever have to play a top seed, they're going to choke and lose. I'm saying you don't want to play great teams in every round of the playoffs because traditionally, The more games you play in the playoffs, the worse chance you have of winning the cup. You want the first couple rounds to be as easy as possible so you can put a lot of energy into the conference finals and the Stanley Cup finals.
It's right. Just, there's a reason why Glass Joe was first in punch out.
That's right.
You know, because you knew you could knock him out, right?
That's right. You got to get rid of him quick.
We need your Glass Joe.
Exactly.
That's who was first, right?
Yeah, it was Glass Joe.
Yeah.
And it's a little disconcerting that we have Joe Thornton and
talk
about Glass Joe.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying.
Did we just inadvertently give him a new nickname?
No, we did not.
Oh, okay.
We certainly did not. But Mason, I agree with you. Of course, we're going to have to play a top team in the Western Conference Finals, maybe even in the second round. But it's my preference that we don't do that because that increases the Sharks' chances of winning the whole thing. That's what we want, right? That's what we're going for.
On the spot, dude, the Sharks going to finish second or fourth?
That's a tough one. Where's the standings as we speak?
We are ahead right now by 1 point, but there is a game yet to be finished between Phoenix and Chicago.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to say, even though I'm not, to be honest, I'm not super happy about it, I'm going to have to say they're going to finish second. Mm-hmm. Because I think that increases their chances of playing Detroit, and that's not what I want.
Phoenix did lose to Chicago tonight, so the Sharks are back in the second seed, I believe, dude.
All right, dude, you see what I'm getting at here?
I see. We have discussed this.
I'm giving Doug a 3x5 card. I'm taking one of my own. What we are doing right now is we are predicting the Sharks' eventual playoff results. We are not going to show them to each other. We are not going to read them aloud on the air. We are only going to unearth them. We're going to put them in an envelope, sealed, not looking, until the season is over. Make your own prediction at home if you must. Don't send it to us.
So are we just doing the round, like how far they'll get?
Yes.
So you don't have to say like win series 4-3.
Nah.
No, we're just writing down how far we think the Sharks are going to get.
Yeah, where they're going to get.
Okay. All right.
And then we're
doing this on the air right now?
We're doing it on the air right now. We're not showing it to each other. And then later on, we're going to get to make fun of each other for the person that is most wrong or the most pessimistic or the most optimistic. Or what have you. And then, you know, it should be a fun bit when we finally get to it. And you find out that I'm right. Okay. Sounds good.
All right. The sounds of silence.
Yes. Okay.
So right now the Sharks, they finish second.
Yes.
They would get Colorado. But Detroit is just 2 points behind,
I know.
Let's assume Detroit's 4 points behind Nashville, and I mean they could make it all the way to the five. Between Colorado, Nashville, and LA, if you're second, who do you want?
I want Colorado. I'll take the seedings right now if the Sharks stay the two. I will take Colorado. They have been sinking for the latter half of the season. I'm trying not to look at what you're writing, dude. But yeah, I have made my prediction here. And it's turned over, and it's a done deal, and now we're just going to have to stick with it, and who knows what will happen. But it should be interesting. It should be interesting.
All right, dude. We've got it here. I'm just going to put that down, and good luck to you.
Good luck to you. Not really.
Not really to you either.
Right. Anyway, okay. So I think that takes care of this podcast, dude, although we do have some games coming up here. We have Dallas on Thursday and Vancouver on Saturday.
Tough games.
And the Avalanche on Sunday. So
really tough games.
Could have a little playoff preview there.
Yeah, that's good. You know, hopefully they'll be able to rise up to the occasion. They've played some teams that maybe they're a little bit disinterested against, and they got up for playing Miami. They better be up for playing Dallas because Dallas always plays the Sharks tough.
Right.
You look at what Phoenix has got. They've got Nashville. They've got Colorado coming up this week. So they've got some tough games. This is a chance for us to pull away a little bit. You know, pull away a little bit from Phoenix, get the 2 seed, and try
it's,
and...
It's really not that bad because the Sharks now have... You know, if they were cruising, then you could almost make the same argument that people made last year. The Sharks don't really have anything to play for. Now they have something to prove.
Absolutely. They
have something to prove to us. They have something to prove to themselves. Listen, we can pull out of this rut that we fell into, you know, all of a sudden, and we can start playing hockey the right way again, and we could see Dallas and Vancouver, hopefully, bearing the brunt of that frustration.
Let's hope so. You know, a team that has heart and wants to come together at the right time is the team you don't want to play in the playoffs, and... Now, if we're looking to spin this the right way, we've talked about spinning things the right way, maybe the Sharks can turn this into a mega positive, dude, and get hot here down the stretch and get some momentum, dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. So I'm hoping that you're hoping all that, Sharks fans. And we will talk to you again next week, of course. Same time, same place. Go Sharks.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.